This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another round of some severe weather last night roared through the area, and we got one more round possible today, and then we should get a little break. But it has been a challenging week, to say the least. And Paul, the numbers you just updated us on of people without power, again, a week later, hopefully they'll get to those. And at least Duquesne Light says by, 11 o'clock tonight. That's the game plan anyway.
Well, I mean, everybody, but they expect most people will be on before that.
At some point today, and I like the idea of this group. If you call 211, they'll help, you know, clean up. There's still a lot of cleanup to do. And there have been, you know, almost a domino effect of issues since the storms on Tuesday. And the cleanup will continue. Meanwhile, mentioned this real ID deadline tomorrow. Later this morning, one of our team members, Andy Lindberg, who's our director of digital works, among other things, is headed to the airport. So the TSA reconfiguration of Pittsburgh International caused some long lines yesterday morning. And now we'll see how that goes this morning. And then tomorrow, I talked to a couple of people who are flying in the next few days. And it was amazing to me. They're like, what are you talking about? I said, just a heads up, get to the airport earlier. Why? They had no idea. And from a practical standpoint, if you have your real ID or passport, okay, remember to take your passport to the airport, flying domestically. But right. The other thing is, they didn't know, like, well, I have my real ID. I said, okay, I get that. But guess what? There are going to be people that go there that don't. And right. It's going to be some type of delay. It has to be.
And TSA switched up operations during the peak hours at the checkpoints, between 4 and 7 a.m. And so, for example, here's a lady who was trying to get from point A to point B yesterday and asked for some help finding the right line to get into. And listen to this.
I spoke with probably four different employees who were all really polite, but seemed to be a little confused as well.
When she says employees, does she mean TSA employees?
Yeah, they've got people stationed around at, you know, transit points where they can help people out. But I think there was a fair amount of confusion. Now, I did read the TSA spokesperson was saying that the long lines people were reporting. They had one line, Larry, apparently, that went all the way back through the that covered walkway
right.
All the way back to the escalators.
That's far.
The people movers, right? But they said that the line was moving quickly. The wait was about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on which line you were in. So they were moving people through it at a good clip, but she said the optics made it look worse than it actually was. I don't know. What I do know is that they changed things, and there was confusion. And this is the time of the year when travel volume increases dramatically. And so we're going to have these lines. And boy, that all it can just tick, 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 get that new terminal open, right?
Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, there are supposed to be 12 new separate lines in the new airport, which is, tick, tick, tick. It's only a few months away. It's supposed to open the end of summer, early fall.
To tell you, Larry, to make a point about this, about infrastructure, airports especially, you know, getting a new one here in Pittsburgh, what a great idea it is, and it's going to be a whole lot better experience for travelers. But let's talk a moment about what's going on at Newark Liberty Airport out in New Jersey. Now, the network coverage is talking about, you know, air traffic controllers taking time off, you know, trauma leave for 45 days because of an incident where they couldn't contact any of the planes or see their radar for, you know, for a period, short period of time.
90 seconds.
Yeah, which is forever in that business. And I can imagine how difficult it was. But they're already stretched thin there. The focus has been a lot on that. But the truth is, and I read this morning, and this is a really good point, Newark Airport was built back in the day, long before they ever suspected that it was going to be a hub for United Airlines, and before that, Continental. And there's just simply too much traffic. There are too many flights. United has cut back now 35 departures a day. One runway is shut down right now at Newark. I guess they're doing some work on that. The runways weren't built for the big jets back, again, when they built the airport the first time around. So you have, and this is just one example, of an airport that's bursting at the seams. It can barely handle all the traffic it has. And the answer to the problems at Newark are fewer flights and bigger planes. And that's the real issue that's kind of obscured in the back. So how fortunate are we to have, you know, all the runways that we can use with no waiting? Once you leave the gate, you go straight to a runway. You don't sit around waiting unless, you know, you're getting de-iced, right?
Right. I've been in line like 21 planes deep.
Yeah.
If you're in Philadelphia, JFK, Newark. Yeah, they're having major issues there.
If you can fly anywhere, you know, and you have your choices, now it's really wise to pick the hubs that can handle the action.
So we'll see what happens. We're going to check in and follow this story. Even if you don't fly, just from a curiosity standpoint, it'll be interesting to see how it unravels.
What a test of human endurance it is to fly these days, right?
I mean,
you really find out what kind of condition you're in internally by the time you get to the airport. If you're relaxed and you can, you know, wait patiently through all the things that you have to go through, you're in good shape. But I can understand why people get testy and, you know, a little bit angry.
Speaking of which, I want to talk to you in the next few minutes about this incident that happened at a PNC Park.
Oh,
the video's going viral.
Did you see that?
Apparently, two guys allegedly were harassing a woman and an employee at PNC Park told them to leave. And he got spat on, and then he started swinging.
I couldn't believe what I saw.
And then
the employee for PNC Park, you know, went after them. And
yeah,
I thought, that's what I mean. No,
and he got suspended.
An escalation, yeah.
Should he have? We'll talk about that next. Driving home last night from Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall, I was listening to the Bucco game. Pirates are up 3-2, right? It's going into like the sixth inning, and I got a phone call from a friend. And it was only a couple of minutes. When I went back to the game, they were losing 6-3.
How do you pronounce this young man's name that was pitching? Is it Shugart or Shugart?
Shugart.
Okay, Shugart. Thank you.
I believe. But anyway.
I'm unfamiliar with it. But he had a one-run lead when he started. And
right.
When he left, they were behind by three.
Six straight hits, and then they're down by three runs in a flash. I'm like, what happened? Anyway, they lost. Again,
I see that someone posted, one of our colleagues here posted on X, that the Pirates are on track right now to lose 108 games. It could be a disaster of a year.
Well, it certainly hasn't been good. And Paul Skeens is pitching tonight, and he's 3-3. So you have one of the best pitchers in baseball, and you can't win for him because you can't hit.
He's got over 40 strikeouts already.
When they get home, they're coming back after this short St. Louis road trip. I'm going over there, and I'm going to show them.
Well, I know I have tickets for the Sunday game when Atlanta's in. What's the weather going to be like on Sunday anyway?
Sunday looks decent. Saturday looks spectacular, 72 and sunny.
Yeah.
I have tickets for Saturday. But I saw this PNC Park employee video that's gone viral.
Wow.
So Sunday, he works for PNC Park, Here's allegedly what happened. There were two guys harassing a female concession stand employee.
Ah, okay. And now this is starting to make some sense.
This game day employee intervened. He diverted the two men away from the concession stand. He told them to leave, apparently. And in the video, you see one of the guys spit on him. And he starts, now the employee clearly starts swinging at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then takes off his belt after there were two guys. And the altercation caught on video. And the Pirates sent a statement out. We are aware of the unfortunate incident that occurred following the conclusion of yesterday's game, which would have been Sunday, between a PNC Park game day employee and a guest. The employee's behavior was entirely unacceptable, and he was immediately suspended. The incident is currently under further investigation. My question is, should he have been suspended?
Well, let me add this part in here from the story on Channel 2's website. So the exchange becomes heated over this alleged harassment of the concession stand worker, right? And the game day employee is seen in a video trying to walk away several times before the fan follows and taunts him until punches are thrown.
And
thank you, Paul.
Bystanders and other employers tried to break up the fight. Within moments, the fan is seen spitting on the game day employee. So that was the maraschino cherry on that deal.
And this kind of circles back to slightly to mental health. It's like if you're harassing a woman, one, kudos to the employee for standing up for his coworker, you know, because that's scary. You're at work, you're being harassed. Two, you're spitting. Honestly, I commend the employee for standing up and kind of saying, hey, that's not the standard here at PNC Park.
You know what I'm surprised at? I'm surprised some other bystanders didn't intervene and kick butt.
Right.
Well, if you see the two guys that they're talking about, looks like they have these giant backpacks on. It doesn't look like they're at a baseball game. Looks like they're at a scouting event where they've got backpacks on. And
just kind of wandered in.
And if they were harassing an employee, I know you can't support violence, but
you can certainly
understand the guy snapping on him.
Yeah.
Right.
After all that and then getting spit on.
And I think it all, you know, once the story came out, it really looked terrible on PNC Shore because that was one of their workers. And, you know, maybe the employee could have watered it down a smidge, but I really believe the way people are behaving now, especially in the city, it can get out of hand quickly.
How do you think it would go over if the Pirates came back instead of what they did here? If the Pirates came back and said, we stand behind our employee 100%.
Right.
We will not tolerate verbal abuse, physical abuse of any kind, harassment. And if you're asked by one of our employees to leave or to move away from an area and you don't do it, you know,
we're
behind these people 100%. You know, show respect or you can't come in the ballpark anymore.
Well, a lot of fans weighed in and they're like, hey, those two who harassed the employee should be the one prosecuted and not allowed back to a Pirates game.
That's exactly what I think.
They're just trying to do their job.
Yeah.
If you're asked to leave by a Pirates employee, you should leave and not be, you know.
You know who covered this story for Channel 2 yesterday was your friend Barry Pintar.
And I think it's the customer service thing,
you know,
where they're like, you know, you have to, the customer's always right.
Do me a favor.
Like,
let's get Barry.
Yeah, I would love to hear what Barry's.
Okay,
I would love to hear what he's got on this.
We'll get him. We got room. Also coming up, it happened really fast. A Pennsylvania House committee passed a bill to legalize recreational marijuana, and that's where the story begins. Right after the news at 6:30, there's some controversy involved in it, and it looks like a long road till it would become a reality. However, really interesting story about the way it happened. Larry Richard with a special guest, Gina Venzel, who I've known for many years, co-founder of Plant Media Project, and also sits on the board of the SSDP. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
What is the SSDP, for those that don't know?
That's the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We actually just got back from D.C. where we were fighting for cannabis legalization on the federal level.
And that said, as you know, Monday, the Pennsylvania House Committee approved a 173-page bill to legalize recreational cannabis use. There's some controversy involved in how this happened. I'm not asking you to reflect on that. We're going to talk to Dan Frankel here in a few minutes. However, this is another step closer, but there's still a ways to go, right?
Well, I am going to reflect on that because, you know, good bills don't need smoke and mirrors, Larry. And this was pretty sneaky. I mean, we need to gain trust with the GOP. We certainly need some sort of bipartisan support to get anything through our Senate. And so because this bill was dropped very quickly and pushed within 24 hours, it's not really creating the support that we need in a bipartisan way to push this. And there's a lot of things that we don't really want in this bill. I was really hoping, you know, coming back from D.C. all fired up about cannabis policy reform, I was hoping to come home and get this great news. But really taking a look at the bill and diving into it, it's really not what we hoped for. I mean, the fact that this is a state store run model, I mean, what does the PLCB know about cannabis?
I don't know. Where else?
I don't know either. I mean, I see cannabis as a plant medicine. So it's hard for me to consider using a medicine through a state store model run by our liquor control board. We have so many people in this community that truly understand the nuances of building businesses within these this highly regulated market. And it just feels that this bill really misses the mark. It doesn't even have DUI protections. And we know that cannabis stays in people's systems long after they consume. So if someone were to get pulled over, even after this bill is legalized, they could potentially get a DUI. And this just does not protect Pennsylvanians in the way that we had hoped.
So that said, it seems like a step back then in a couple of different ways from what you had hoped would happen. And we're still apparently a long way from this actually being legalized.
I think so. I mean, there's a Representative Emily Kincaid, who's a Democrat, and Representative Abby Major, a Republican, had this bipartisan memo that they put out. And I really, in my heart, feel that what's going to happen, because this bill was rushed, because, you know, both Democrats and Republicans did not have time to read through all the nuances in this bill to understand it's not really what we want. I think even if the House, you know, votes it in, it's going to die in the Senate. And then what does that mean? Well, maybe Representative Kincaid's memo, which will be bipartisan when it becomes a bill, that actually has independent regulation. So it would be run by its own board. It would not be run by the PLCB. This is the bill that we want. This is the bill that protects Pennsylvanians, although it's just a memo yet. So what I think may happen is if this bill dies in the Senate, because we have lost any trust with the GOP, you know, presenting this bill so quickly in the way that it was. If it dies, then there's the potential that the conversation of cannabis is still moving forward, and this bipartisan bill could potentially gain the trust necessary by Republicans in our state to feel that there's an approach to legalization that benefits all Pennsylvanians.
How many states now have recreational cannabis?
There are 24 other states that have already legalized adult use cannabis, and that's all around us in Pennsylvania except West Virginia. So we are surrounded by states where folks are, you know, driving across state lines, breaking federal law to do so just to be able to purchase cannabis in a more affordable way. And so we know that our state has to do something. And believe me, we've been talking on this show for how many years about how much I truly want our state to get on the right side of history and to legalize cannabis. But we have to think about the long term and how these decisions now will affect how this program runs and will affect Pennsylvanians for years to come. So we don't need to rush into this process. We need to find the right bill that protects all people. And I do not believe that this bill that's being rushed through is the bill for us.
All right, we're going to ask Representative Dan Frankel about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
I'll be tuning in, Larry. I can't wait to hear because, you know, the whole part of this was that, you know, the last six testimonies were before new members and patients and community members were not allowed to participate in this one. And so there were a lot of prominent black and brown cannabis groups in Harrisburg yesterday when this bill was introduced, and they did not know about it. It was happenstance that they were even able to hear that this was happening and then were able to attend to tune in. This was not open to the community, as well as it was a surprise to members of the House. And we don't need this kind of sneaky tactics when we're talking about the ways in which cannabis can support people's health and how this plant can help rejuvenize our communities and revitalize our economy. We don't want to do this in a sneaky, quick way. We want to do it together and united, and something that PA can be proud of.
On the federal level, any movement to having it declassified as a Schedule I and eventually legalized?
Well, we hope so. I mean, the Students for Sensible Drug Policy was a part of the largest bipartisan cannabis coalition in history, and we went to the Hill this past week. We had every single member of the House of Representatives and Senate with our folders that were a unified connection of saying three things. We want to deschedule cannabis, we want to release all nonviolent cannabis prisoners, and we want to expunge all records. There's 11 different bills that we presented, and so there's a lot of opportunity for us to do something at the federal level. But we can protect ourselves here in PA by creating a bill that would really support what we need in our home state. And, you know, I'm just not sure how this bill is going to work. I mean, when you think about Pennsylvania state storm model, it really raises some legal questions regarding federal law. Because if cannabis, as it remains, is a classified Schedule I substance, it's really exposing our state to some potential legal risks.
Gina Wenzel, co-founder of Plant Media. I will follow up. Well, stay tuned. You're going to hear what Representative Frankel has to say about it.
I will be staying tuned.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry.
This is the Big K Morning Show, and we welcome Democratic Representative of the House, 23rd District, Dan Frankel. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Boy, you're in a firestorm this morning. You know that.
Oh. You know, what the heck?
Well, you've been at this a long time. This whole conversation about recreational marijuana or adult use cannabis, however you want to describe it, has been passed along and along. And then Sunday, a 173-page bill is sent out, and out of committee, it passes. Now the Republicans are going, hey, you're trying to pull a fast one, Dan. What's going on?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is this has been the most thorough, thought-out, and transparent process bringing this bill to fruition. We've had six comprehensive hearings with every potential imaginable stakeholder, from people in the industry, from consumers, folks in the public health sector, from folks in the small business sector, and the criminal justice piece. So we, and that was done in a bipartisan way. So all the information's been out there for quite some time. We wanted to bring a bill up as soon as we could to get this engaged in, as we discuss the budget, because there's significant revenue potentially in an adult use bill. So it has been a very transparent process. My Republican colleagues informed a great deal of what we ended up proposing here, particularly focused on the public health issues. And we're very proud of the product, and hope we get it moved out of the House this week.
Well, I know the governor's in his budget proposal is counting on, you know, $500 million projected revenue from the legalization process. That said, critics are saying, why are you doing it through the PCLB for sales and not separate like all the other states, now 24, that have it legalized?
Right. Well, virtually every one of those states have done it badly, and I think you would talk to many of those legislators there and regret what they've done. The alternative is a model that has been promoted by the big cannabis industry, a model that does not promote public health and does not promote small businesses. So what we have seen in other states and what we saw in the medical marijuana marketplace here was the vertical integration of the industry. And with our intent had been to make sure that small business and entrepreneurs had opportunities. So what you saw was people who bought licenses in the medical marijuana marketplace in Pennsylvania for processing and growing could not get their products on the shelves of these big multi-state operators. And we had to make some adjustments there. So we don't want to create a flight path to make the big marijuana into big tobacco. We want opportunities for Pennsylvania small businesses, for farmers, and we want to promote public health. So our bill includes caps on THC limits, packaging restrictions, so it's not attractive to children. If you have edibles, that they aren't going to be appealing to children as well. Those are not things that are supported by the large multi-state operators. And so I think we've got a pretty conservative approach to doing adult use that, as I said, promotes public health, promotes criminal justice, and promotes small businesses and revenue for the state. It checks every single box, and I think the model is really unique in the United States, and it moves the conversation forward. If we move this out of the House over to the Senate, you know, my expectation is we'll have a discussion. I hope the Senate Republican leaders engage in this discussion. And in my 26 years, I know that compromises need to be made. And I don't have any real expectation that we get the same exact bill back. But at least we're starting the conversation. We're going to send this over to the Senate. Engage with us and let's try and address these issues.
Dan Frankel, I appreciate your willingness to discuss. We'll see where it goes. Thanks for the time this morning.
No, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Representing the 23rd District, Representative Dan Frankel, and here we go.
The Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, a week without power can be an effective teacher.
You need to have a plan and be prepared for the next time that happens, because I think it's going to be a stormy summer, and is this going to be all summer?
Wow. It's Mary Kay Drummond of Castle Shannon. She had a week with no power, Larry.
Yeah, it's to the point where people are ready to snap. So hopefully they get it done today. They say they will.
A game day employee for the Pirates has been suspended after getting into a fight with a fan at Sunday's game at PNC Park.
Yeah, we're going to talk to KDKTV's Barry Pintar, who covered this story. When you see the video and hear the background, should he have been suspended? And should the other two guys be thrown out? We'll see.
State Representative Valerie Gatos has introduced a bill to send Pennsylvania's surplus money to taxpayers.
I'm all for that.
Who's not, right?
Let's get it done. All right, Paul, we got a lot going on here on the Big K Morning Show. Very spirited conversation about this legalization, too, of cannabis.